A Progressive Life. And on my other phone line, I believe I have Dr. Feynman. Dr. Feynman, are you there?
Yes, I'm here and raring to go.
I knew you would be. Oh, my. What a night, huh?
Oh, my God. I honestly do not think that there should be a second and third presidential debate. There needs to be a VP debate, absolutely, because both those people could be president in the next term. So we need to see Mike Pence and Kamala Harris. But I don't see any point in having a second or third debate. But we'll see what happens. But to me, it has no productivity to it. So that's my thought.
Well, you know, I think Joe Biden has already said, or his camp has already said, we're ready. You know, they're ready to have two more. So I don't know about Trump. I would assume that he just will be thrilled to get back on bullying stage.
Well, I do think that he will only harm himself more by doing that. So I guess if that's the case, go through it. But it just puts all of us through torture for 90 minutes to have to deal with him. You know, it's just unbelievable, so unpresidential. And I say with Joe, you know, in the beginning I was thinking, gee, you're so tame, you're not saying much. But then I realized he had a strategy. He was smiling a lot, and his eye movements were absolutely priceless. And I think it really said without having to say much. And I think he actually did very well because of that.
Well, I must admit, early, I thought, oh no, Joe, you can't just put
That's
your
what I thought. Yeah,
there. Yeah. And I thought you got to be strong and you got to go. But I also think occasionally he caught himself in a position where he overstepped. He kind of returned the rudeness for rudeness. But I think he had to be strong at several times.
Yes, but I do think that since Trump said to him, "Shut up," it was all right for him to say shut up and call him a clown, which I thought was quite good.
Now, what did you think? Now, I was on with Scott just before this show.
Yeah.
Scott and I talked about this, the whole matter of fact, he got a call from Eleanor Clift and a call from Sam Donaldson.
Oh, wow.
Both of which didn't tell him they were going to call. They just wanted to be on his show to say what they believe. But I think that he was kind of, he didn't like it that Joe called Trump a racist. What do you think about that?
Who didn't like that?
Scott, he thought that was going, that was a trip too far.
Well, he has a right to his view, obviously, and I respect Scott completely.
Yeah, sure.
But honestly, anybody at this point, after all this time, cannot see our president as being a racist and white supremacist and nativist and misogynist. It may not be nice to hear it, but he is that. He is George Wallace on steroids.
Well, you know, he almost proved, and I forgot to bring this up with Scott while we were talking about it, he almost proved that he was a racist by himself just by saying he wouldn't call the, what are they, the Billy Boys or the somebody boys, the race of the, oh shoot, I can't remember the name of the.
I'm a little blank at the moment.
Yeah.
That's terrible. I hate that.
Yeah, I do too.
The Proud Boys.
He would not say bad stuff about them. And then he actually, he said something that they should stand down.
At the election locations. That's terrorism. So he is a racist. He has always been a racist. Back when he was involved with Queens, New York real estate, not allowing African Americans to get apartments, when he was going after the Central Park Five, who were wrongly accused of attacking and were later proved to be innocent, he still wouldn't back off.
Right.
And then he has the nerve to say, I've done more for African Americans than any president, except Abraham Lincoln, forgetting Lyndon Johnson, Harry Truman, and others.
I mean, Nixon did more for African Americans than
Nixon, again, got his faults, but he has his virtues. You know, people might be surprised I'd say that, but I've always realized that.
Yeah.
But I would say he looks like a choir boy next to Trump.
Yeah. Well, now, I know there hadn't been enough time since the debate, but have you had an opportunity to look up that term? Apparently it's on the media right now that term of telling the something boys to stand down.
The Proud Boys, yeah.
Yeah, is something that's kind of a hidden message to them to
they're excited. On their websites, they've been going nuts about how, and David Duke, for instance, and Richard Spencer, my God, he's with us. Imagine having a president that these racist groups want to be associated, want to be tied to, and he allows himself to be tied to them. So to me, to call him a racist, it may not be nice, but, you know, Trump doesn't play nice, so we can't play nice on the other side either.
Well, ever since I watched Trump stalk Hillary around the stage, I knew he wasn't going to play nice.
And John Kasich was on CNN today. He's such a dream compared to most Republicans, and he was very much denouncing Trump, and he always has. Good. And I must say, in 16, I remember that I thought if somebody said to me before Hillary got the nomination and everything, and Trump, if somebody said, who would you like to be the candidates? I'd say Biden, of course, then his son, Beau, of course, died. I understand why. But him and Kasich. And I said, if it was Kasich against Biden, even though I prefer Biden, it'd be a dream election of two decent, good people, Joe and John. You know, and it's just a shame that Kasich could not have been the nominee.
Yeah, and we were followed up with the next governor that we got is a little bit more centrist than it's kind of talks oddly about what I thought was a strongly red state, Ohio, that we would have two governors in a row that are kind of centrist Republicans.
Yes, they are. Mike DeWine, is, I think, a little more conservative than Kasich, naturally.
Yeah.
But I think he's been wonderful, and I applaud how he's handled the COVID-19 pandemic, including the demand to have masks and other things. I know it's hurt businesses. I know all that. But I think it's very important what he has done and what the Maryland governor, Larry Hogan, also a Republican, has done, and the Massachusetts governor, Charlie Baker, who's also a Republican, have done, along with many Democratic governors, including in Michigan with Whitmer and New York with Cuomo and California with Newsom. I think it's really important, you know, and I applaud both parties. That there are some Republican governors who know what they're doing and are doing the right thing for public health and safety.
Yeah, and that is a good thing. We need to get people back to work, but we need to get people healthy before that.
That's correct.
Yeah.
And not everybody feels that way, as we know.
I've had disputes
with a number of people about that online and elsewhere, and what are you going to do? You can take a horse to water, but you can't make a drink.
And if you're tested every day, you don't worry about getting COVID. You know, you don't have it. And if you're required to stand 6 to 10 feet away from everybody, and you don't even have to wear a mask, then that's kind of what our president is doing.
Yeah, you know, one thing I don't understand with the COVID-19 is supposed to be up the nose, right? I haven't had it, but I've heard that's what it is. Can you see Trump doing that every day? I can't imagine he could tolerate that.
I don't know. I don't know. Hey, have you watched the new thing? I think it's on Netflix or something, where it's called Comey. Where
I'm aware of it, but I don't have Netflix. But I understand that Jeff Daniels, portrays Comey and does a very good job on that. Yes,
the gentleman that plays Trump is kind of scary looking, but
well,
he does have
sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, but he's more scary looking than our president. But I'd like to see it, but I don't have Netflix either, or whatever it is. It might not be Netflix, but
I think it is Netflix. Yeah, okay. No, I'm not one that I watch movies, but I don't go fanatical to subscribe to every service.
Yeah, I'm not.
I prefer other things, like reading online the New York Times, the Washington Post, the LA Times, the major newspapers. It does cost a lot, but it costs money. But a lot of people say that they can't afford it. It's like $10 for the Washington Post in every month. It's not a big deal, and those are the papers that you can rely on to be reliable and accurate.
Well, do you read all of those every day?
Well, not every single, look at them all every day. Of course, I don't read every article, but I look at the headlines. So I do post quite a few on Facebook. And I would say I don't read from cover to cover. Who could do that? I do have a life. I keep up with all three papers, plus the Fort Lauderdale Sun Sentinel locally, you know.
I assume you don't get those in papers. You get them on the line?
Oh, online. Yeah, no, I don't get it in papers. It would build up too much. I used to read the New York Times. You'll get the Times and the Sun Sentinel, but now only the Sun Sentinel on Sunday. and the coupons are not very good anymore, so I may stop that.
Yeah.
It's the main reason why I did it. But I'm saying online I read, but of course not everything, you know, it depends on the day, but I do look over and I do post several articles from particularly the Washington Post and the New York Times, a little less from the LA Times, but those are the top three papers in the country, and no matter what people say about it, they're not 100%, nothing is 100%,
that's
but
right.
I would say they're 98% of the time accurate, like with the tax records of Trump, people saying it's phony, it's not phony, it's real. Fox News Channel cannot be trusted, and neither can the New York Post, for instance, which is a trashy paper that is always promoting lies and deceits, you know, just saying, so...
Yeah.
You can see I don't have an opinion, huh?
Well, you know, I often wonder about we ordered online because it only cost a dollar a week or whatever it was, the New York Times, and I've often wondered what people like you who study politics thought of some of the majors like that, and you're pretty confident that even if the major is considered right-leaning, they're at least trying to be honest.
Well, I don't think any of those, all those papers are considered moderate to left, I guess, those three top papers, as far as their editorial viewpoint. I don't really care what the editorial viewpoint is. It's whether they cover the news accurately and completely. I don't care about editorials. But, I mean, the New York Times, remember, and the Washington Post exposed Watergate.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the New York Times is a newspaper of record. It is considered the best paper, has the best index. The Washington Post has been heroic since the 70s. The LA Times, not as outstanding, but still good. And they are seen as the best newspapers in the country. It doesn't mean they never make a mistake.
Yep.
We all do. But compared to many right-wing sources, far fewer. And Fox News is a disgrace. But so is OANN, which is another website which makes Fox News look liberal. That's how right-wing it is. And they're just unreliable, and as I see it anyway, that's my view. And, you know, I therefore rely on those three newspapers plus CNN and MSNBC.
Well, you know what some of our right-leaning friends would say, that you're just biased about that.
If they want to call me that, go right ahead. But I'm also knowledgeable and learned, and I trust because of the long history of those newspapers.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I look at, even CNN has its faults, of course it does, but it's far better and has never had any lawsuits against it. Fox News always has lawsuits. I'm saying Fox News really is an alternate universe, as I see it, and people following that and not paying attention to the other electronic media or to the newspapers really are ill-informed, as I see it. But I know there are people listening who may think I'm upset. I'm sorry. That's my honest belief, and I, of course, I can't be sure that everything is correct, but much more so than Fox News or the right-wing sources that are out there.
Now, I assume you watched the entire debate. And or
well, my blood pressure went up, but yeah.
Well, I'm sure there are a lot of people that watched 90 minutes of it and then went and had to take some sort of medicine.
And, well, it was also late at night, so luckily I was able to go to sleep, you know, after it was over. It was obscene. It was really obscene. No president, no debate yet from 1960 on, no matter who it is, the candidate or the president, has ever acted like this. Ronald Reagan never acted like this. H.W. Bush didn't. George W. Bush didn't.
Yep.
Nixon, of course, didn't debate after 1960.
Yeah, but he had sweat on his upper lip.
What's that?
He had sweat on his upper lip. That was the worst thing that happened there.
Yes, but Nixon after 60 would not debate. So until 76, we didn't start having debates until then. But Gerald Ford, for instance, was a dream. What a classy gentleman Gerald Ford was, who I think is never appreciated enough. I'm not saying he was a great president, but a really decent human being.
Yep.
And his wife was such a dignified first lady, Betty Ford.
Well, I would put Carter in with him as a decent human being.
Oh, yeah, well, I'm just talking about Republicans at the moment.
No, I understand.
No, Carter, and by the way, today, oh my God.
It's his birthday.
September 30th, tomorrow is Jimmy's 96th birthday.
It's tomorrow, yeah, okay.
Can you imagine that? 96, and his wife's 92. Unbelievable.
I'm going to have to look
it up. God bless him, you know?
I'm going to have to look it up, but I think tomorrow is Mary Ellen Withrow's birthday, and she was this treasurer under Clinton.
And her 90s or so, isn't she?
Yeah, something like that. 90th. I think it's her 90th. It's sometime this week, I think. And We're real proud of her being from Maine.
Imagine Jimmy Carter has outlived, it could be 40 years on Inauguration Day, the longest retirement by more than 8.5 years over Herbert Hoover. It's unbelievable. Yeah. And, you know, he wasn't outstanding because of the times, but honestly, actually, October 2nd, she'll be a birthday. She'll be 90. I looked it up now.
Oh, okay.
So, right. Well, she's 89 now, but she'll be 90. Yes, so on the 2nd. But I'm saying, you know, that he's going to look better. You got to remember that Harry Truman was panned for the 20 years after he left. Oh, he's terrible. And then he passed away. And within 5 years, we had his Time magazine coded Truman Mania. And all of a sudden, Truman rose in the polls of scholars and is now rated 5th or 6th among all
You're
presidents.
You're kidding.
I'm not saying Carter will be that high, but I think he's going to rise a great deal more than people think of him now once he passes, because there's something about while you're alive, you can't be respected as much as when you're dead.
The killer of hundreds of thousands of Japanese people has rose in the ranking, huh?
Yeah. Yes, he has, because of his courage and other things. He's very controversial, obviously.
It is, of course.
But he also started integration with the military and Washington,
yes,
D.C. He also recognized Israel, as a homeland, and he stood up against McCarthyism. You know, everybody has ups and downs, but Truman's still rated as one of the greatest, yes, even though the atomic bomb, and that's highly controversial, yes.
Yeah, and you're right. He doesn't get enough credit of ending the McCarthy era, or at
it
least
ended,
getting
but
it
he
started.
Fought against. It was actually under Eisenhower that Joe McCarthy came down. But now we have Ron Johnson in Wisconsin. It's like another Joseph McCarthy. He's trying to find dirt on Hunter Biden, has not been able to do so, as far as the kind of thing that he said he was really corrupt. And yet the New York Post claims he did, but the New York Times showed it did not happen. So that's why I say the New York Post is not to be relied on. But I have people who swear by the New York Post, and yet say the Times is not to be regarded, and there's no comparison, really.
Well, what do you think of, let's go back to the debate. What did you think of all the lies that were thrown out, but nobody challenged them other than Biden?
There was no time to, but he has done more than 20,000 lies in office, in the Washington Post, and now it's much more. And also, there was some time in the last month or so, he made some statements, a long sentence, which is unusual for him. So he has a long, complicated sentence, and he made 4 lies in 1 sentence.
Oh, my.
Now, that's a record.
That?
I mean, not just one lie in a sentence, 4 lies.
Oh, my. That's pretty amazing.
And yet, and also, he talks about, how he's so close to the evangelicals, and now we learn that he ridicules the evangelical Christians as he ridicules veterans.
Now,
it's unbelievable.
That's one of those stories that could have been dropped in by a Russian bot to get the people, Democrats like you and me, angry at them. How do we know that that is true?
Well, because this was published, I forgot which magazine. As much as we can know, look, knowing him and people around him, and also his niece, Mary Trump, even his sister, and others, and also Cohn and others, so many different places, the guy has a loose mouth, and he says a lot of things in private which are inappropriate. And just like he says, he's glad he doesn't have to shake hands of his supporters because they're disgusting. I mean, problem is, you can think what you want in your head. I mean, nobody can stop your head. But if you open up your mouth and people hear it, it's going to come back to haunt you. That's the point.
Well, also brought up, but not brought up very very loudly at the debate last night, was Amy Coney Barrett, who is the nominee for the Supreme Court. What can you tell us about that lady?
Well, she's qualified in basic background. I mean, she's not unqualified.
Yeah.
But she's only been a judge for 2.5 years, so a little less than 3 years. And she comes in suspect because she has made statements already ahead of time about abortion and about the Affordable Care Act, and now the thought is she might be the deciding vote if the case goes to the court for the election. So I think it's wrong that somebody be nominated and approved. It's never happened this late in a presidential campaign, and when Obama had a chance in February, beginning of his last year to appoint Merrick Garland. He was denied even that chance by Mitch McConnell and others. And you know, and suddenly now, with only five and a half weeks to go, they're pushing it on us. And I think it's true that when it gets this close, it should be left up to whoever wins the election. And obviously, if Trump wins, of course he'll get who he wants. And if not, Joe Biden should. But that's not what apparently is going to happen. And I think it's wrong, but it looks like it's a fait accompli.
Yeah, it would be different if voting hadn't already started.
Also that, yes.
It started on the day that she was nominated. But anyway, yeah, I think it may. I think you may be right. Anything will change that. Do you think there is no Republican that has no... Well, look at...
Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski, but they need four.
They need four. But have you seen the Lincoln Project ad showing Lindsey saying, take my word on it?
Lindsey Graham is a disgrace. I hope that even if she gets confirmed, Lindsey Graham and Mitch McConnell lose their seats. They both have real contests. They have an edge, but they're not... Especially Graham has less of an edge now. It's disgraceful, and I do feel that to go ahead and pick somebody totally the opposite of Ruth Bader Ginsburg is a crime. Now, I understand he's got a different view, Trump, although he has actually no view. He just will exploit. He doesn't really know what he thinks, but to do the opposite and pick somebody who's an anti-Ginsburg, as this woman is, I think is wrong, but unless he can get four votes... or some other kind of delay, and then they might do it in the interim after the election, before the inauguration. And I say if he loses, he should not be picking a Supreme Court nominee. And the closest it ever came to this, by the way, was Lincoln in 1864. Chief Justice Roger Taney, which is spelled T-A-N-E-Y, but it's not Taney, it's Taney, died. And, of course, he was a big critic of Lincoln in the Civil War, you know, in that period, the author of the Dred Scott decision. But what happened is it was October, and he could have picked a new nominee, and there wouldn't have been a battle then because they basically just confirmed. But he waited to after the election. Of course, he won. He waited to after the election in December, picked Salmon Chase of Ohio to be the new Chief Justice. So, I mean, if Lincoln didn't want to do that with an election like 3 weeks away, it should not be happening. And I think if he had lost, most likely, he would have not made the appointment. He would have left it to his opponent, George McClellan, who, of course, lost big time. But it just seems to me if Lincoln could have that state, sense of statesmanship, I think this president should. But, of course, this is not a normal president.
Yeah, you're right there. Now, I don't want to forget this because I told Scott that I was going to tell you this analogy that I saw on Morning Joe.
I watch Morning Joe every day.
Well, did you see the one about the pig? His mother told him, you don't want to get in a fight with a pig because you both end up dirty and the pig likes it.
And who likes it?
Pig likes it. A pig likes to get dirty.
Yeah, but who likes this? I'm not getting what you're saying. Who says he likes this?
Okay. The mother's told Joe that you shouldn't get in fight.
His mother, you mean?
Yes, okay. His mother said this to Joe, that you shouldn't get in a fight with a pig because you'll both get dirty and the pig will like it. You won't like it, but the pig
will.
He
laughed.
Yeah.
I didn't actually see that. I know it was today?
Yeah.
I missed that moment. You know, I don't watch every minute. But it is funny. Actually, I laugh at it. And it reminds me of the comment that Sarah Palin said about pigs. What an embarrassment she was, too, you know.
What did she say about
Republicans
pigs?
Republicans come up with the most unbelievable people, you know, to be nominees. And I want to remind you, one thing about Joe, they say, oh, he's demented. He is not demented.
Obviously, from last night, that was one of the good things for Joe.
He's not what he was 10 years ago. Nobody is when you get older. But the point is, look back at his debate with Palin and his debate with Ryan and now his debate with Trump. He triumphed in all three.
Yeah. Now, do you think that Scott wasn't sure, but I'm pretty sure that Trump's debate team probably told him to do exactly what he did. Maybe not quite as aggressively, but I think they egged him into doing that.
Yes, and I don't know if you're aware of who his debate team was.
Yes,
Rudy
I am.
Giuliani.
Yeah.
Chris Christie.
Yeah.
And
I didn't know who the third
and
was.
Kellyanne Conway.
Oh, wonderful, yes.
What a group.
Yeah.
Boy, I would say, you're going to like this, that I would put them on a new Titanic. and see what happens. How's that?
The trifecta of liars.
Then, of course, the old joke is, let's say you can only save one of them. Which one? That's a good question.
Oh, my goodness. So I think I'd shoot myself.
What's that?
I'd shoot myself. Just get me
I'm
off this
I'm going to keep
earth.
Chris Christie, because I think he would float better. Due to his weight. And I think he's a little less objectionable, although he still is more than Rudy Giuliani, who once was a dignified mayor, but boy, has he gone down the drain. And Kellyanne Conway, I don't know how her husband hasn't divorced her yet.
Yeah, I don't either. What happened to Giuliani? Do you know? You have any ideas or theories?
Well, I actually think that he may be in dementia, early dementia. I think a lot of these people, I think even Trump is, really, in their behavior. But I think that he got corrupted by power and money.
He
once was a good district attorney, a good U.S. attorney and a quite good mayor. And actually in 07, 08, when he was running to be the Republican nominee, although I don't prefer the Republican Party, I remember thinking, well, out of the Republicans, he's probably about the best. And I thought he wasn't too bad, comparatively. But boy, has he gone down the drain since, you know?
Well, he got his big political boost from 9/11.
Joe Biden brought that up and said, what else can you say about, which maybe wasn't fair, that it was just 9/11. And I think Giuliani has always hated Joe Biden since.
Yeah.
Because of that joke about, what else can you remember about Giuliani? Actually, there are other things, but he got credit for something that he couldn't prevent, but, it was just he happened to be there. I think he gets too much credit.
Do you think that Trump hates Obama because of the chiding that he took at the Screen Actors Guild thing?
Not the Screen Actors, at the White House Correspondents.
Yes,
but more than that, even before that, he was critical in 2009 about Obama's tax return, where he paid $1.8 million in taxes, and that was about a 20% rate, effective rate, and he would say, oh, he's paying too little. And apparently he paid zero that year, as we now know. I know some people don't want to hear it, because he's a racist, and he doesn't like the idea that a dignified, intelligent, qualified gentleman who happens to be black has been a good president, and not perfect. No, nobody's perfect, but I think he's really outstanding, and he's already ranked in polls of experts, and okay, experts, not everybody says you believe an expert. Obviously, a lot of people don't believe scientists and doctors, but the fact is, in the American Political Science Association poll of 2018, Obama's rated 8th of all presidents after only 1 year out of office, 8th out of 44, and Trump is at the bottom, 44th out of 44, after only 1 year, nothing since. And the C-SPAN historians poll, which doesn't include Trump, rates Obama 12th. Not bad for somebody who many people think is a horrible president, when actually he's outstanding.
Yeah, I agree with that. Now, a couple of my favorite comebacks to some of my Republican friends, and most of my Republican friends and I get along fine, but some of them I chide with. They'll say to me something about Barack Obama, and I'll say, well, you just didn't like him because you thought he was black, when in fact he was really white, because he was half white.
If he had looked, all depends on genetics, if he had looked more like his mother, it probably would have been an easier life for him, when you think about it.
A lot easier.
It used his mother's name, Barry Dunham. Boy, would it have been easier, but he was a man of courage, and he, even though he didn't have much contact with his father, he was still proud of his blackness, proud of his father, and even though he didn't really get along or know much about him, and I give him credit for courage, that he could have been Barry Dunham, looking very white, although mixed race, but it's just the way it worked out, yes.
My second favorite way to get under my friends that vote on the right side of the aisle, I'm guessing a little bit on the racist side, I like to say it to them, won't it be wonderful when the whole world is brown? We're not going to go all black, but
actually
tan.
The world is becoming yellow, talk about Asian.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people now, whether they realize it or not, or in some cases realize they're marrying people who are not, quote, Caucasian, end quote.
Yeah.
And therefore we have blacks and whites marrying, and Latinos, and Asians, white, whites, all the mixes. And honestly, I think the children who come out of this mixed race, everyone, come out looking great. Not that everything is looks, but I'm just saying, there's nothing to not like about them.
Well, in the good old days, that was against the law, right?
That's right.
In the good old days.
Whites could not marry until 1967.
Yeah.
Loving v. Virginia, the name of the white man was Mr. Loving, which I think is a perfect name for the
cool.
case. And the woman was black in Virginia. And the whole idea that you had to get approval and that you would be persecuted or prosecuted if you... It's just unbelievable that it should have lasted that long.
Yeah.
But I think that it's nobody's damn business who you love and who you marry.
Right.
And that includes whether you're straight or gay. It's
right.
your business. You don't have to agree. Keep your mouth shut and ignore it, you know?
Just stay away if you don't like it.
Yes.
It's easy enough to do. All right. Okay. Now, one of the other questions that Scott and I argued about this morning was...
Okay, but listen, I was busy. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Oh, we had a crazy morning.
What are you on? 10 o'clock to 12?
Yeah. And Scott and I... We don't get fisticuffs going, but we do disagree on a lot of things.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, and we disagree quite kindly to each other. But one of the things...
Well, gentlemen, that's why.
We try to be.
Yeah.
One of the things he didn't think there was a winner last night. What are your feelings about... Was there a winner, or were both of them losers, or were...
Well... The poll, at least the CNN, and some people say, oh, it's CNN. But CNN poll shows 60 to, I think, 28
for
Biden. I think Biden, by just acting dignified and laughing and putting on faces mostly, and not other than once or twice saying, shut up, or you're a clown, but really focusing on us and the camera and talking about what he wants to do and all that, and overcoming the absolute horrendous behavior of Trump, I think he easily won the debate on points. I just don't see it as nobody won.
Style points.
Of course, a lot of people discussed it about the whole debate, but it's more Trump's behavior, not Biden's behavior.
Yeah, that kind of hurt Trump rather than helped Biden, I think.
I think the polls are going to show the lead for Biden, we'll see, is going to come higher than 8 or 9 points in most of these states, including Ohio, is now in play.
Yeah.
And I want to point out, I wrote an article on my Progressive Professor blog about the fact that Ohio has been right since 1900, every presidential election to go with the winner, except 1944, they voted for Dewey over FDR, and 1960, they voted for Nixon over Kennedy, but every other time they've been with the winner, and if you look at their whole history, I think it's 54 times they've been in the election, 45 times, including 7 in the 19th century, they were wrong, but that's the highest batting average, if you're playing baseball, of any state in the history of the United States, to have an 83% batting, 83% of the time accurate. And I think the sign is Ohio, seeing that there's real problems, and Trump goes ahead and says that he created, 700,000 jobs in manufacturing. Actually, he lost, I think, 237,000, another lie. I think Ohio, even though it went against Hillary Clinton, I think is going to, it'll be close, but I think there's a good chance that Ohio will go with Biden. And I would think that, therefore, they'll be adding to their record of being accurate on who they're voting for. But we'll see. They may not, and they don't need to vote for Biden to win. But I think Ohio is definitely in play.
Well, it would be nice. When I ran in 2018, I thought there wasn't a Democrat out there. And now I've seen, it's kind of interesting. I know flags and signs, yard signs, do not vote. But there has been...
They don't vote, yes, true.
There has been an onslaught of both... flags and signs for Biden, which is kind of unusual because this time when I was running, I don't, other than my sign, I didn't see any Democratic signs out there.
I wish I lived locally in Ohio. I could have voted for you.
I wish you did too. Maybe I would have gotten 29.2%.
Oh my gosh. Well, you know, the way things are going, like people point out, he's got about 40%, 41, 42 right now, Trump. That's a landslide if it continues that way, 58, 42. And, you know, if he gets like 40%, he will be down with the worst losers ever. Like Barry Goldwater had 39% of the vote against Lyndon Johnson. So he could be one of the worst losers in percentage of the vote ever.
He'll take that as a win, I would imagine.
Yes.
Anyway, now, you were... Oh, shoot. I lost what I was going to say.
Maybe write down your ideas.
I should. All I have is a phone here, and I keep...
Something, write some ideas down before the show, maybe.
Oh, I have that. As a matter of fact, if you'd like me to read them off to you, I've got lots of ideas on my that I wrote down that I was going to ask you. And
yes.
Why not? Let's go to that. And you already answered question number one, where can we find honest news? And I think you gave your belief on that.
Yes.
Okay, how about, are you worried about a post-election civil war?
Yes, I am very worried, because these Proud Boys and other white supremacist groups like at Charlottesville have a lot of guns, and I think they're ready to provoke violence and bloodshed, and I think our president may claim that he's been robbed, even if it's clear he has not been. And we're going to, I think, have troubles in the streets. I'm very worried. I hope not. But I am worried, and I don't know. I'm just praying that it doesn't happen. But, I mean, I think he knows he's going to end up in prison for fraud, if nothing else, in New York State. And he's desperate not to leave. And I don't know. I think he's capable of anything. I really am worried about that.
Yeah, I'm a little afraid of that.
Now, at the same time, I'm thinking, if he comes down to it that he has no chance and he realizes he's done, who can say what he would do? And it could be, maybe I'm being surprised, he might decide to end his life. Who knows?
I hope he doesn't do that, but
but he could.
Yeah, I would be surprised if we lock him up. I can see maybe, arresting him and putting him on home arrest, but I can't imagine that we would ever put a president in jail.
But for what he's done, much more than Nixon, he deserves it.
I think he does deserve it.
But, yeah. He should not have special privilege than anybody else. That's the point I'm making, you know.
Okay. Now, let me ask the next question, all right? Why do so many people buy what Trump is saying? Are they ignorant? Do they have their eyes closed? Or is it our side against your side, and they're not seeing the truth?
Well, I don't like to say. I think some of them are ignorant. Some of them have their eyes closed. And unfortunately, there are a lot of people who like his bigotry that he has. I'm sorry. It's a shame. But... I mean, imagine the household some of these children grow up in that make them the way they are. You were taught by your parents how to feel about people who are black or Hispanic or Jewish or gay or Asian. Come on. I mean, it's something that's the background of the family. And it upsets me that some of these people claim to be religious in their own religion, and yet they promote hate and they promote bigotry, and they claim to be good people in their faith, and it just annoys me no end.
Yeah.
So I see too much of that, I really do, including some of these ministers that you hear about, who will accept anything he says or does, like the besmirched Jerry Falwell Jr., who I guess we won't hear much about him anymore because of his own scandals, but also Franklin Graham and many others who are a disgrace to their faith, that they claim they're ministers. It's just disgusting.
Two ministers that my father, who was a minister, and knew both of those people, not as a friend, but as an acquaintance, because they were all in the ministry business.
Yes.
But those were two that my father told me were good people, which is kind of...
Well, they may have... You talk about Billy Graham or Franklin Graham?
No, the father, Billy Graham.
Oh, okay, Billy Graham. But even Billy Graham, as good as he was, and I basically respected him, we learned on the Watergate tape, said things against Jews.
Yeah.
We didn't know it then. Now we know it. But Franklin Graham has not been anything like Billy Graham, even with the faults of Billy Graham.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Jerry Falwell Sr., I don't know, he may have been nice to people, but he promoted the Christian Coalition, which really promoted taking over the Republican Party and destroying the moderate right-wing party that it was, making it extreme right-wing, and now his son is corrupt.
Yeah.
You know, so...
Well, now, my dad, when he talked about him, my father said he is not a trustworthy person, but he was a nice person.
Well, I mean, that's trustworthy. I don't know if being nice is enough. That's my fault.
My mother and father both gave you the benefit of the doubt no matter what.
Well, I'm curious, what did your father think of Pat Robertson, who's still around about 90 himself?
He wasn't real kind about Pat Robertson.
And he's, you don't hear much from him anymore, but he's still around, Pat Robertson. He still has, I think he's still on his show.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
But
I think I've seen him. Now, I just did get a message from somebody. I give out my phone number so people can text me if they want to. And here's a text that somebody wants you to answer, all right?
Sure. And by the way, Pat Robertson is 90, just for the record. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Oh, now I'm getting a voicemail message. But this person, it's the same person. Why are Republican senators so silent?
That's the question of the century. I should write an article on it. Because
yes,
the ones who are running for election, including good people like Ben Sass, who I think is decent,
yep,
but they're afraid to alienate him because it might affect their election, as if they lose the election, it's the end of the world. I mean, my God, they have money. They like the job, but it's not like they're going to be on the street homeless.
Yeah.
Others have no principles, and some of them probably agree with him. And I think particularly McConnell and Graham are a disgrace, particularly. But there are others. And the ones who are not running, they have no guts because they figure they're going to have to run again in the future. But this is something that's going to determine their image in the future when they're gone. And that's the whole point, that you want to have a good reputation when you pass from this world. And you have to consider what you're doing, not just for the moment, but how it makes you look. And you should want to make yourself look as good and decent as you can. And that's why Barry Goldwater, what people were afraid of in 64, in 74, went to the White House with other Republicans to tell Nixon, you need to resign.
Yeah.
That, I think, redeemed him a lot.
Yeah. Now, I know the reason why I'm still living, or one of the reasons, is because I am trying to make all three of my children respect me as their father. And I really believe that that's important. Now, maybe it's not
absolutely
important to
I have two sons,
Mr. Trump.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, and I got one last question. We've only got about 3.5 minutes to go.
Oh, shucks.
I'm sorry. We've talked about
always
a lot.
Next week, right?
Yeah, there's always next week. What is the story behind the $200 medication federal support?
That's a scam. Yes, he might send $200 to every senior citizen, which includes me and you.
But it's not
after
cash.
The election, of course.
It's not cash.
But it's a scam to get elderly people to vote for
him.
But that's coming out of the Medicare fund, and will deplete Medicare. And the purpose of the party is to try to privatize Medicare and Social Security. Even George W. Bush wanted to do that with Social Security in 05, and it failed. So it's a scam, and hopefully seniors will not take that big deal. The $200 is not going to get very far. What needs to be done is have better funding of Medicare and Social Security, not try to destroy it or destroy Obamacare without an alternative, like he comes up with the idea of pre-existing conditions by executive order. That's bull. You keep Obamacare and you make it stronger. You don't get rid of it.
Right.
That's coming up, and she'll be involved, the new Supreme Court justice, in that, and that should not be.
No, it shouldn't.
I see it.
Now, I figured out when I was preparing for this show how much $200 would help me. Now, I'm on heart medicine.
So am I.
And I have a couple other medicines I'm on. I'm on medicine for gout. And it would only take me 4 months, and I'd be out of money, that $200. So,
and there's also other kinds of medication, even if it's not prescriptions, that you go to a pharmacy for.
Yeah.
It's $200 over 12 months. If you figure for over 12 months, you figure it average, it's only like, what is that? That's about $15 a month, right?
Yeah, and I spend that easily. I spend at least three times that amount.
It's at least an insult.
Yeah.
He's even suggesting that. And it's just a ploy.
Yeah.
But he is losing, and he knows it, and he's getting more desperate, and his kids are a disgrace, and he goes after Hunter Biden, but what about Joe didn't say, how about your kids and the corruption they're involved?
He kind of brushed on that, but didn't go very far.
Yeah.
I think he said, well, I'm not bringing up your kids or something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, we've only got about 1 minute.
Oh,
so,
gosh, I'm sorry.
No, I'm glad. I mean, I'm glad that you were so talkative and had so much to say.
I'm always talkative.
And we'll do this again next Wednesday.
Yes,
but
I'm looking forward to it. I've had a great time. I thank you again for inviting me. And say hello to Scott for me and Adam Lepp, okay?
Okay, well, I will talk to you then next Wednesday.
Okay, and we'll talk on Facebook in between, all right?
Absolutely. We've been doing a lot of that.
All right.
Have a great day.
Much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right.
We've really gotten to be quite friendly, Dr. Feinman and I, over Facebook. That's kind of crazy, isn't it? But I'm going to have him back on next Wednesday. And don't forget to join us tomorrow. We will have a swap shop. We're still trying to decide whether we should keep that going or not. That'll be on at 12:15. And before that, we will have On the Air, and we will talk about lots of things on the air. So have a great day, and stay healthy.
This is WWGH Radio 107.1 FM.